up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Lots to talk about today, and I am so excited to have a very special guest joining me at the bottom of the hour, Dr. Joanne Oravec, student, teacher, PhD, Masters of Science. I mean,
robot tamer.
Right.
AI generator.
Yeah, the woman has more credentials than I've ever seen behind someone's name. And the best part is Dr. Joanne has been a longtime listener and caller to the show, and she has some expertise to share with us about AI and robotics. Some folks just attacked a autonomous driving vehicle in California. Just so much to talk about. And I love it because I know zip, zilch, nada, nothing, negative information about this topic. So really excited to have Joanne joining us. But I got to start with the Aaron Rodgers, Jesse Ventura vice presidential potential candidates as a potential ticket match with RFK Jr. And all I can say about so much of what's happening now is this is some egomaniacal bull, blah, blah, blah. Right? Every time we talk about some person that evidently has an enormous ego, they're saying dumb stuff, acting almost exclusively in their own megalomaniacal self-interest. And that's Aaron Rodgers to a T. That's RFK to a T. No humility about what they might not be expert about. That's one of the things that I love about the show. I know a little bit about a lot of stuff. And I know a lot about a couple of things. But I can bring on experts to help me and all of us understand, like Dr. Joanne. This, to me, is the point. Do we have the humility to actually engage with people that might have more knowledge, more expertise, more research time, more time spent reading and talking to other experts in areas? And just time and time again, I see, especially the billionaire set, the elite sports set, saying stuff that's not here's what I personally believe, and gee whiz, I might be wrong because I don't know squat about this and I don't have any degrees, but basically proclaiming their feelings about things to be facts. And feelings ain't facts. And Aaron Rodgers sure has a lot of feelings that he puts out as facts. And at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers is a liar. He's a liar. He's a terrible teammate. I don't think he's a very good leader. He may be one of the best quarterbacks of all time. I'm not going to argue that point. Clearly, the man is one of the probably top five to ever play the position. But he only has one ring, which I will point out is largely a leadership problem. When you have skills like that as a QB, you should have more than one ring. I don't think he's ever going to see another Super Bowl again.
Maggie, I think you have more rings on now than
I do.
You're blinged out. Yeah, look at that. Super
blinged
Bowl
out.
Champ, Maggie Dawn.
In my own mind, everyone. But, you know, and Jesse Ventura was sure an interesting governor of Minnesota. This is the guy that said religion is for the weak-minded. You know, just worthy of note, a former entertainment wrestler, right? RFK trading on his family name to spew anti-vax nonsense. And of course, RFK is going to pick a guy like Aaron Rodgers, another egomaniac who likes to hear himself pontificate about that which he has no business pontificating about. That's their brand. RFK ain't an MD. Aaron Rodgers is not an immunologist, a virologist, or any ologist other than an egoologist. Right? That's it. Rodgers so bad that he got kicked off the Pat McAfee show. And that takes a lot. If you've ever please don't go listen to that guy's show because it's about as bro-hemed as you can possibly get on the airwaves. And I don't say that because it's about sports. I love sports. Anybody that's listened to me knows I played college sports. I'll talk about sports with the best of them. Any sport, basically, except for soccer, I might fall asleep. Talk about the Oscars. Those guys should get some acting awards. But I've digressed. Yeah, They're egoologists, RFK, Rogers, the lot of them, Elon Musk's of the world. All this is going to tie together, of course, on my show. These things that seem so disparate, we bring together for everybody, so to hear. Let's listen to some of the crazy Rogers talk from that other show that he got kicked off of.
Everybody who dealt with the draconian measures, and that's my last point, and I just want to move on. But it's like, people are always like... Yeah. People are always like, you know, why are you still talking about COVID? Like, why don't you just move on? It's ridiculous. I'm like, well, let's see what happened. They locked everybody up forever. It was supposed to be a couple weeks, right? They locked everybody up. Hundreds of thousands of businesses closed and never opened again. Many of dozens of people that I know in their 30s, you know, who poured everything into these small businesses and restaurants and bars and never opened again. So they lost everything. They're out on their ass, right? The gap, the wealth gap got even bigger from the haves and have-nots. They lied to us over and over. They vilified early treatments. They censored legitimate doctors in the space, like Dr. Peter McCullough, like Pierre Corey, Dr. Corey, like Dr. Robert Malone, who allegedly was there in the beginning of the mRNA technology, and so many more people than that. The Alex Berensons of the world, the Weinsteins of the world, who were like writing about this, talking about this.
Not hard.
Weinstein. Brett Weinstein.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was about to check you.
And had an informed opinion about this.
Oh, where to begin here? First of all, Mr. Rogers, I suggest you go back to throwing around the pigskin. You're entitled to your opinion, but you're not a small business owner. You're not an economist. Again, you know squat about immunology, and you lied. When people asked if you were vaccinated, point blank, he said something like, I have immunity. I forget what it was. Anya will find the sound for us. But he was lying. He gave the impression to all of his coaches, all of his teammates, that he had been vaccinated from a virus that can kill people, and it was all a lie. That makes you not creditable ever. When you lie about something that could kill the people that you work with, guess what? Everybody should stop listening to you. You don't get to talk about these things anymore because you lie about them. It makes, you know, this is in a courtroom, this is what we call testing a witness's credibility. Oh, you've lied before about really important stuff.
Guess where he lied about it? I think I just found the clip. I can't play it live because he did swear in that earlier one and I had to censor it by hand. But he went on the Pat McAfee show to announce he'd lied about the vaccination.
Yeah.
Where else would he go, I guess?
Well, right. And the original statement came in a press conference. He was asked because this is back when everybody was in the bubble. He says everybody was locked up forever. No. We didn't know what to do about this virus that was killing. The reason that small businesses closed, yes, it did have to do with some of the measures to keep people alive. But it was the great orange man that failed to take steps to heed and support the vaccinations that put out their baloney about, well, let's just shoot a little bleach in there, maybe a little light, that'll cure it. The economy became worse because the orange man failed at the one crisis of his presidency. Vilified early treatments. What are you talking about, ivermectin? It's a horse medicine, you moron. And it's to me, there's this great, like, disgusting problem with someone like Aaron Rodgers talking about stuff like this. Aaron Rodgers, you have access to everything. Every possible medical treatment you can pay out of pocket for anything and everything you would ever, every whim, every dark room, every hallucinogenic trip to get your head right. You can pay for all this and more and more and more. Guess what average Americans can't do? They don't have massage therapists every day. They don't have cold baths. They don't have the silent dark room. They don't have hallucinogenic drugs that get administered in a warm cocoon of safety in South America. They don't get all of the things that you... They don't have athletic trainers every day. They don't have chiropractic. So don't act like you speak for the average American, Mr. Rogers. You don't. Because you have access to things that none of us will ever be able to be so privileged to have. By the way, none of that's a treatment for COVID, you moron. And this is, of course, who RFK is going to pick as his running mate. And make no mistake, RFK and Aaron Rodgers, this is nothing more than a self-aggrandizing ego trip of ego trips. They'll never win. They know that. This is when, you know, privilege, access, wealth, name recognition, and megalomania come together in the most twisted of ways. Not only harming people because you spew nonsense that has no basis in science, not only do you harm individuals and their health and public health by extension, you potentially put our democracy at risk because RFK knows and Aaron Rodgers knows and Jesse Ventura knows, all these megalomaniacs know that if he gets on the ballot in states, he's going to pull from both Trump voters and Democratic voters, but that's more of a challenge for Democrats. Because we don't belong to a cult, so energy about the election becomes really important. So they know exactly what they're up to here. Lest anybody think that this is mere rumor mill, Mr. Kennedy confirmed on Tuesday that the two men were at the top of his list. And listen, Rogers has been spewing, it's not just I'm anti-vax. It's conspiracy theory garbage. And here's what's interesting. RFK floated a potential VP run to Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii, Senator Rand Paul, and former presidential candidate and New York Mayor Andrew Yang. They all turned him down. It's like, are we getting down to that uncomfortable bottom of the egomaniac barrel? I should say so. I'll be back with more after this. You're not going to want to move an inch or turn that dial a notch because we got Dr. Jonathan Oravec coming up at the bottom of the hour to help us break down robots and AI and help us get our arms around all this mess. Here on the Maggie Dawn Show, 855-75-CIVIC. Join the conversation, 855-752-4842.
Jack and Diane, two American kids growing up in the heartland. Jackie gonna be.
Of course, ironically, Jack and Diane probably not growing up in America's heartland if RFK and Rogers have their way because they'll die of measles. I mean.
Jack never does get to be that football star.
No, he doesn't.
Is it because he contracts the measles and can't play? I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, you know.
We got to ask John Mellencamp when he's in town with Bob Dylan and Willie Nelson and all of them.
Yeah, I have tickets to Willie Nelson and family.
Do you really?
I go every time.
Good for you.
Huge Willie fan.
Oh, I got to see him this year.
Anyway. American treasure.
Oh, completely.
Is it 4:20? Oh, no, we get off the air at 4. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, later, that's in devil's time.
Yeah, that's devil's time for sure. Nobody's going to want to move the dial all afternoon because I've got Terry Bell coming in towards the end of my show, help introduce President Biden's speech. He's here in Milwaukee talking about infrastructure. And then the Devils are going to carry the president's speech live in the 4 o'clock hour. So don't go anywhere, anybody. But I got to get back to this. One of the things that it really irks me about Rodgers, which is not just the terrible leadership evidenced by a single Super Bowl ring. Not just the lying that could kill teammates and coaches and the people that you work with. It's not just the complete lack of remorse, lack of contrition, never, and I'm sorry for lying to you. It's the fact that the guy is about as disloyal, if that all doesn't equal disloyalty, he's so abundantly and evidently disloyal. Why is he even having this conversation with RFK? Didn't you sign a contract with the Jets? Does your word mean nothing to you? And the answer for Aaron Rodgers is no, it doesn't. I'll just do whatever the hell I want. And remember, the reason that he got kicked off that other Cro-Magnon show was because he basically insinuated that Jimmy Kimmel was a pedophile. And ESPN became rightfully concerned that they might actually get sued. Because when Aaron Rodgers says things, it's not like, oh, I'm being sarcastic and it's clearly a joke. No, he was mad because Kimmel was making fun of him, and he basically said Kimmel's likely a pedophile. So the man's word means nothing. It meant nothing at the end of his time with the Packers in the locker room. It means nothing, apparently, with the Jets. It means nothing when he talks about science because he knows nothing about it. Worthy of note, the guy that owns the Jets, Woody Johnson, big donor to the former Orange Man president. Anybody surprised there? I mean,
no.
Yeah, I've heard just about enough from Mr. Rogers. Go back to your neighborhood. Nobody wants to see you. Maybe work on a little Achilles rehab. One of the worst injuries you can ever do is a blown Achilles. Incredibly hard to rehab. It basically takes forever. Maybe you worry about the contract that you signed with New Jersey and your fans out there and see if you can show up and lead a locker room again, lead a team. You're a great football athlete. Do that. And if you're going to talk about other things, I don't besmirch athletes having political opinions. That's fine. They're public figures. They have a platform. What I do mind is when you make statements that sound like facts when you don't know what the hell you're talking about and people can die as a result of it. That's what bothers me. When you're lying. Denny from Fitchburg, what's up? Denny, you there?
Hello?
Hi. Denny, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Oh, thank you. Second time caller.
Well, thanks for calling.
To this station. I am a Packer fan, but I can't stand Aaron Rodgers.
Amen, brother.
His ego took over. RFK, I look at that whole thing as the way they got their money was illegally. And I do not like that.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what Denny's referring to, and it was a little hard to hear you, Denny. Otherwise, we'd have a little Q&A back and forth. But, you know, I think it was 2 weeks ago when I talked about the measles outbreak that's happening in Broward County, Florida, and the fact that the Florida Surgeon General Ladapo, refused to tell parents to keep their kids at home if they were symptomatic, because measles is an incubation period of some such like 60 to 90 days. So you can kill other kids, especially if they're unvaccinated. You end up with all sorts of cognitive problems. And when I was discussing that, what I pointed out was that all of these so-called medical organizations cropped up during COVID to spew this anti-science nonsense that can kill people and did kill people. And many of the doctors involved with those now have either license suspensions or license revocation proceedings going on in states where they were licensed as doctors. I mean, if that doesn't tell you something, yeah, doctors and lawyers are self-regulated industries. You have any idea how hard it is to get your doctor's license yanked by other doctors or have a lawyer get their license yanked by other lawyers? They tend to sort of self-protect. Yeah, folks are losing their license because people have died. And RFK runs one of these joints. He's the executive director, and he's making $500,000 a year. And by the way, he's married to a Hollywood star. It's not like he's hurting for the money. Dear RFK, why don't you donate back the salary that you get from this pseudoscience charlatan organization to children's health research, you know, by an independent group of actual objective scientists who employ the scientific method, you know, hypotheses, test, revisit hypotheses, the stuff that everybody learns in like fifth grade. Why don't you donate back the $500,000, RFK? Right? Nope, that won't happen. It's a grift. All of this is a grift. It's an attention-seeking, megalomaniacal grift to separate you from your common sense. That's grift part one. And once you've been separated from your common sense and your care for your community and your values pressed to be compromised, These aren't your neighbors and friends and coworkers that we all care about and work together as a community so that we all get better. No, 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 no. These are your enemies. Separate you from your common sense. Separate you from your values. To do what? To separate you from your money. $2 trillion tax cut to the richest people in America and the largest corporations. Thank you, Donald J. Trump. Resulting in an $8 trillion increase in our national deficit, the largest of any single four-year term of a president in the United States history. Inflation-adjusted deficit increases included. It is about separating you from your money. And it doesn't happen immediately. It is a game of degrees and pushing, pushing, pushing. Football's a game of inches. So is the political gaslighting of the century. To separate you from your common sense, your values, create division where there is none amongst all of us middle-class folks, to eventually separate all of us from our money, to help line the pockets of people who don't need a cent, like Aaron Rodgers, like RFK, like Donald J. Trump. That's what all this is about. Listen, we're going to talk AI and robotics when we come back. I cannot wait. Dr. Joanne Oravec up next on the Maggie Dawn Show. Don't go anywhere. Your questions answered when we come back. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Denny, you keep listening, friend. I appreciate you.
Two American kids growing up in the heartland. Jackie gonna be a football star. Diane debutante backseat of Jackie's car. Sucking on chili dogs outside the tasty freeze. Diane sitting on Jackie's lap, got his hand between her knees. Jackie said, hey, Diane, let's find a shape. She can't be there. Oh, you see me. They don't believe me.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Last segment, I was talking about what a complete clown Aaron Rodgers is. It's just so terrible. He's apparently in the running to be RFK's running mate. I just wanted to give a shout out to a couple of our texters and online contributors. Jeff from Shoreworth, what's up, my friend? Pointed out, yeah, Rodgers said he had been immunized, gave everybody the impression he was vaccinated. Liar. And then he went ahead and got COVID and had to miss a game because that's what happens. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Also, Carmella from Milwaukee. Thank you for listening, Carmella. Weighing in about pompous pontificators. Listen, y'all keep me honest. If I'm ever a pompous pontificator, you know, I might on occasion maybe wax a little pontification style. You keep me honest, but boy, does Rodgers qualify talking about that, which one knows not a damn thing about. And we had a caller, Denny from Fitchburg, who pointed out that RFK, at least according to the Democratic Party, has been alleged to have taken illegal help to help collect signatures in states to get on the ballot. There are very strict rules about how one goes about doing this. And apparently RFK is alleged to have violated some of these rules. Doesn't surprise me. If you're a megalomaniac, you're going to always be like, rules don't apply to me. Right? That was Rodgers. Rule the vaccination requirements. Those don't apply to me. But enough about that. I want to talk about robots and AI with friend of the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm so pleased and humbled to welcome Dr. Joanne Oravec. She spent more than 35 years as a professor at the University of Wisconsin, as well as CUNY, City University of New York, teaching IT, business, and public policy. She's got an MBA, along with a PhD, an MA, and an MS, and has been a visiting fellow at both Oxford and Cambridge. She is a scientist with Inspira Corporation, an AI startup, and she has written 3 books and more than 90 peer-reviewed articles on AI, robots, disability studies, privacy, and related topics. Nothing like a good old little peer review to humble you very much. So what I think Rodgers should have to do, submit all of his opinions to a peer review panel. We'd clear that up, wouldn't we, Joanne?
I think that the peer review process is an amazing process, and almost always the readers are right. I mean, I can fight all I'd like, but those readers and editors know what they're talking about. I'm so excited to be on the show. I just have a word to all the listeners. We need to tell other people about this show because this is an incredible an incredible perspective. Maggie Dawn's approach isn't found anywhere else that I can find online. And I've written actually two articles for the Journal for Radio Studies, which is on a journal that covers talk shows and all of that. So I know a little bit about the talk show as a genre, and this is remarkable. And also, if you haven't heard the call from Bob from Madison, he's sitting next to me right over here. That's Bob from Madison.
Hi, all Bob right. from Madison. Nice to see you, friend.
Right. And so he's actually got 9 Nobel Peace Prize nominations. So he's done quite a lot of work in peace. And I hope at some point you can share his expertise as well.
The intellectual power vortex in the Oravec Bob household is intense.
Exactly. This is Bob Rushlight. I want to make sure his full name is used, and his handle is realeconomy.com. So my handle lately has been this book, Good Robot, Bad Robot. And I know we'll be talking primarily about bad robots today, but before we do that, I can present a lecture, as I have in many places, about robots and say horrible things. I've actually dedicated the book to the people who have died in manufacturing concerns and the autonomous vehicles that are out there running into people. Thank you so much. Very good. And I still, at the end of those lectures, will have people coming up to me and say, how can I get into AI? So I have good news for you. In the Waukesha area, there's a 2-year degree in artificial intelligence that just came out, WCTC, the Waukesha County
Technical College.
Yeah. So having somebody from WCTC come on in the weeks to come might be a wonderful way to get that started. The degree isn't starting until fall. But if you are interested, I would recommend getting in very quickly. And of course, Madison College here in Madison, Wisconsin, and Milwaukee Area Technical College, MATC, all of these technical schools, and of course, across the beautiful state of Wisconsin, there's usually a few courses in how to utilize the great AI tools that we have now to your best benefit. And almost every piece of software now that's coming out has some AI aspect to it. All the Adobe tools that are coming out, that's for your PDFs and all of that. I just saw a PDF that was printed out there that Maggie was holding. And of course, when we're talking about robots, we're seeing them absolutely everywhere. We're seeing them in the military, of course.
Yes.
Not to get too political here, but both in Gaza and in Ukraine, they are being used for military operations, and of course, police operations as well. There's a chapter in the book on military robots, as well as a chapter in the book on sex robots, and a chapter in the book on
Let's just jump right in there. One of the things, so I love, Joanne, that you understand and present to people both the incredible power that AI and one of its applications in robotics, the incredible power, the productive value that this can unleash, sort of almost a second information revolution, a second industrial revolution of some kind. You present that argument. You also get into some of the problematic elements of these things. And one of the things, if we want to just get right into the heart of the matter, that keeps me up at night with the very little that I know about these things, are basically autonomous military applications. Right. You know, if you go back to Asimov's 3 rules of robotics, which at least most people have heard the name Isaac Asimov, one of the things that he's most famous for, amongst many things, he was sort of a Renaissance man of types, is his 3 robotics rules, which is the robot shall not hurt humans, the robot shall do as it is instructed or directed. And rule 3 is it shall self-sustain, except if self-sustenance conflicts with rules 1 and 2. But when you talk about a robot that can make its own decisions, its own kill decision, and is completely autonomous from any human control in a way, are we really ultimately going to be at a point where it is going to be up to actors, whether state actors or non-state actors, to ensure that there is a human being somewhere in the autonomous applications chain of command? Is that the solution? What are we looking at here? How big is the threat when we think about these some of these military applications?
That's what I'm hoping we talk about on the big scale of in a human robot AI bill of rights. I was hoping that we could flesh one of these out as we go along. But to answer your question specifically, those military robots now very often have facial recognition as well. So if you'd like to aim at a particular target and you believe you could recognize that face, which facial recognition is becoming more and more sensitive, but makes mistakes.
Yes.
That's the type of thing that you would be putting in a military situation instead of putting a human being. Now, I know someone is sitting out there and saying and listening to this and saying, I'd rather have that robot in that military situation, because then my nephew or my niece won't be in the situation of being blown up by some type of mining, landmine or something like that. So again, there are trade-offs here, but the notion of having a human somewhere in the loop is still at question, because we operate a lot more slowly than some of these super fast computers that are happening right now. And I know of if there's a someone who's studied the brain and neural reactions and all of that, I can be corrected to some extent here, because the brain actually works pretty quickly on some parts of those decisions. But as to putting the whole thing together and delivering the decision, we can do a lot faster with robots. Want to be very precise here, because I know we have an incredible audience, a very educated audience.
Educated folks. That's what, you know, when you think about military applications, and I have a lot of family members and friends that have served, and they talk about threat assessment. You make a decision about how to respond to the threat assessment, and then you're constantly reevaluating. And that cognition loop can often take a while for human beings, because there's so much information. So I like the framing of these discussions about trade-offs. I also pulled your paper, Joanne, in Technological Forecasting and Social Change, that journal, that talks about rage against robots. And of course, what this conjured up, because in the abstract itself, you refer to machine wreckers. And so if their memory isn't quite serving them, when you talk about machine wreckers, in our nomenclature, we're typically talking about Luddites. When somebody uses the term Luddite, what that is referring to is the early 19th century movement to basically destroy textile machining, the machining of textiles, the production of cloth, which was a huge pivot point in human history. And one of the most famous weavers had the last name Ludd and led a movement to basically destroy the machines. And you also shared with us, so when we talk about Luddites and machine wreckers, we actually have an example from just last month in California of that very thing happening. A Waymo car, which is a Google-owned autonomous car subsidiary, basically, was basically attacked in Chinatown and lit ablaze. No one knows exactly the motive for the attack. Of course, we know that a driverless cruise car, now that company is owned by General Motors, hit a woman and dragged her for a long distance. It was a pretty horrifying incident in downtown San Francisco. But we've got an example of machine wreckers in a very literal way. How does the average person... How help us take a framework. Is it the trade-off concept? How do we understand, how do we approach these things that we don't know a lot about and that seem very scary in a lot of ways?
Right. That relates to the title of the book, Dark and Creepy Sides of Robotics, AI, and Autonomous Vehicles, that's self-driving cars and all of that. I put together the book so that those people who feel creepy about working with a robot can read this and say, hey, throughout history, It's basically about 100 years of the modern robot as we know it. Back in 1923, there was a play, R.U.R., Rossum's Universal Robots, that portrayed just about our current situation with robots taking over our jobs and our fears and all of that. And of course, 1927, the movie Metropolis, which was based on a book written by a woman, and it was produced by a woman, but it was directed by Fritz Lang. So yes. Fritz Lang got the credit for it. But you take these fears that people have, and indeed, we should realize those fears. If we have instincts that robot is malfunctioning, it could very well be malfunctioning because it's so easy to manipulate and to sabotage a robot. Somebody with something against that organization, let's say you don't like the place that you're working at, the late night shift, you can easily sabotage that robot. People sabotage these Waymo vehicles by even putting a cone over one of those orange cones over the sensing mechanism. Yes. So again, we need to be very sensitive to people's feelings about robots. And that's where this Bill of Rights that I hope we can talk about comes in. In fact, I started this article because somebody at one of my lectures, I was giving a lecture to a big room on service vehicles. Somebody in one of these lectures told me that he didn't think those robots would last 5 minutes in his organizations because people would rip them apart.
We're going to talk about robot ethics. We're going to talk about a robot bill of rights and what does all of this mean for us regular folks as we move through the world? I'm Maggie Dawn. She's Joanne Oravec, expert extraordinaire about robotics, autonomous vehicles, and AI. You're going to want to keep it locked. We got more coming up. Joanne's going to stick around here on the Maggie Dawn Show. You got a question for Dr. Joanne? 855-75-CIVIC. 855-75-CIVIC.
Evil-natured robots, they're programmed to destroy us. Ai no muko de watashi wo mitsukete.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. What you're listening to there is an AI-generated song that my producer Anya Esther scooped up, especially for this special appearance by a longtime listener, one of my favorite callers, and now expert guest on the Maggie Dawn Show, Dr. Joanne Oravec. We were talking about a robot's bill of rights. What is it? Why should we have one?
Well, we've got so many issues that deal with the way we interact with robots and AI and autonomous vehicles, and soon it'll be compulsory. Okay, right now we can back off a little bit. We can hide out. I know that Aaron Rodgers put himself in an isolation chamber for a while to decompress and all of that. But soon we won't be able to do that. They'll be everywhere. And what we'll be doing with this AI Bill of Rights, Bill of Rights, is defining more precisely what these relationships are. And with a skilled attorney here, one of these might be dealing with those terms and conditions that we sign when we deal with computer platforms. It's frightening to think of what we're signing away.
Yeah, that's when I started thinking about this and getting into some of your writing on this, Joanne, what came to mind was two things. The first thing was, one, wow, has our federal government been slow and totally ineffective to regulate big data, the algorithms that are used, which are all effectively mind control vehicles, if deployed in a malicious way. We've seen incredible interference, the effectively militarization of some of these tools, which is what they were originally effectively designed to do. And we've watched senators, and they hold these hearings, and the senators don't get the terminology right, and there's all of these cringy moments. We've so terribly failed to regulate social media, big data, these massive companies with GDPs that dwarf many countries, right? Or profits and revenues that dwarf the GDPs of many countries. And my greatest fear is there are folks like you doing this thinking, doing this research that are putting out meaningful ways to think and talk and begin to regulate AI. But we have a Congress that's been so far woefully ill-equipped and unprepared to deal meaningfully with legislation that is informed by experts. Oh my gosh, actual experts on these topics. Are we sort of doomed? Like, what should we be asking from our elected officials?
Well, for one thing, we all need to be experts in this. We all need to go to Ron Johnson and Tammy Baldwin and all these folks and talk to them about what we would like to see. We should not think of ourselves as being as asking dumb questions. Okay.
Yes.
So every question is a smart question when it comes to this stuff. That word creepy that I use in the title of my book is a technical term, literally, in the engineering business. People are trying to figure out why are people creeped out by robots. And incidentally, with the book and all of that, don't, you know, get it from a library or email me and I'll send you a copy. Okay. I'm talking to the audience.
If you would just let me tell people how to reach out. If you would like a copy of Joanne's book sent electronically, it is written for me and you and everybody. It is not so dense as to be impenetrable. God bless you for writing for a lay audience. It's one of the things that I always say. You might know your own science and your own specialty, but if you can't explain that to a lay person, you actually don't know it. This book is readable. I read through the first chapter last night. Just reach out to Anya here at 855-75-CIVIC. You can also email Civic Media, civicmedia@civicmedia.us. I think that email address will work. You can also always ping us at the Maggie Dawn Show. You can text us, 855-75-CIVIC. We'll get you a copy of Joanne's book. Just include your email address with any of that outreach.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah. And so what we need to do in terms of those legislators, we need to be specific in what we would like. For example, the idea that these terms and conditions should be written clearly and specifically and not the kitchen sink thrown in.
Yes.
And all sorts of things that we couldn't possibly understand that are often contradictory.
Yes.
Are often, you know, I'm talking to an amazing attorney about this. I'm sure you know more than I do, much more about it.
Well,
about,
not to put not to put too fine a point on it. We have had regulations in the Uniform Commercial Code, which exists in some variety in every state in the union, that requires certain warranty language, certain language in contracts to be pulled out and bolded so that people actually have some shot at understanding the T's and the C's, the terms and conditions. This has always been one of my biggest beefs when I look at social media companies. You got to go down a rabbit hole of rabbit holes only if you got about 8 hours spare time to figure out what the hell the defaults are, how to make your accounts private, how to control how your data is scraped and used. It's basically the fingerprint of you, how you feel, how you think, whom you talk to, where you go, what do you enjoy, how do you like to spend your time. That's all over your social media, and most of us have no idea how much of that data is being shared. So I think
exactly
Joanne's point, call up your representative, say, we want education. We want you to make it a priority to become educated. And we would like choice to be a part of our interactions, not just with AI and robots, but with big data and these massive social media platforms.
Right. And in the last couple of days, we've been talking about the Oscars a lot. The Screen Actors Guild stood up proud and strong against using AI in a way that would diminish the actors' control over actor and actresses control over their images
and likeness.
Images and likenesses. And this is also our issue when we put things online to the Pinterests and the Instagrams and the Facebooks and all of that. We've made some progress in reining those folks in, but there's always that app that comes up, the exciting app that says, oh, put your face in and we'll give you a picture of it of
when you're old
years or something.
Yeah.
And then we didn't read those terms and conditions that say, from now on, we own your face.
Don't let your face be owned, everybody. Dr. Joanne's breaking it all down. Don't go anywhere. Top of the hour, weather, news, and sports. We'll be back with Dr. Joanne here on the Maggie Dawn Show. You got questions? We got answers. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Keep it locked.
I'm not afraid to